And that's Brother Andy for the words of exhortation.
Morning again, brethren and sisters. I want us to think for a short while this morning about shepherds. Possibly one of the oldest jobs that there is. Because we can go back about 5,000 years and people were being shepherds. And it's something which is still going on these days, although maybe not so much in this country as used to be. But the job, the role of a shepherd was to move the sheep from pasture to pasture. And it's not to be confused with the job of a farmer, because they're two very different things. Shepherd looks after sheep, farmer tends to look after either animals that stay on the farm or crops that are on the farm. So a shepherd is much more of a mobile occupation. And you think, well, what was the shepherd doing? Well, the shepherd was doing several things. Its primary responsibility was the flock of sheep. Sounds easy, doesn't it? And it was to keep them intact, so to make sure all the sheep were safe, to make sure that they were contained, and to ward off and fight off predators, so mountain lions and wolves and that kind of thing. And then ultimately, the shepherd's responsibility was, because you think, well, why bother keeping sheep? Well, you keep them because you don't want to take them to market and sell them and shear them and such. So, with it being such a mobile job, it was quite a lonely existence as well. Because you'd be off up in the hills and the valleys for days, weeks, months at a time. And so what tended to happen was that the job of a shepherd was given to a male with no children, or it tended to be in a family, it was the youngest male child, the one who was not old enough to physically help out on the farm just yet. Now, the job of a shepherd would be easy if it wasn't for the fact of the clientele, and the clientele being sheep. Now, the problem with sheep is that they are troublesome. They have a tendency to go wandering off in all different directions. They also have an uncanny knack of putting themselves in harm's way. Sheep are not the most intelligent of creatures. And also, not only do they have the uncanny knack of going wandering off in different directions, but they then also have this flock mentality. So if one goes wandering off, the others will say, oh, that seems a good idea, let's go wandering off as well. And unless it was for the intervention of a shepherd, then they'd end up in all sorts of trouble. And one of the other characteristics of sheep is that they're very stubborn. They don't like being told what to do, and they don't often do as people would want them to do. And so shepherds need to be very patient and very persuasive, and often helped out by a dog as well, who not only would help round up the sheep, but also keep the shepherd company. So, the first time that we come across this job of a shepherd is right back in Genesis 4. You needn't turn to it, it's just a passing reference, but Abel was a shepherd. He looked after sheep. So this is, we can't get much earlier on than that, can we really? So Abel was a shepherd whilst Cain worked the ground. And we know what happened, don't we? That Cain was jealous of Abel because of the offering that he brought to God, and Cain killed Abel. And that was nothing to do with what they were individually offering to God. It was more to do with the motivation. But then there are numerous famous shepherds as we go through the Bible. Moses, Abraham, Jacob, David, and so it goes on. The job of a shepherd was something which was widely known and respected throughout the Bible. Let's just see what we learn about David. 1 Samuel 16. Oops. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 10. And so this is the time when Samuel, the kingmaker, went to Jesse, and because he was told that one of his sons would be the next king after Saul. So 1 Samuel 16 verse 10. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So here we have David was out in the fields with the sheep, being the youngest, looking after the sheep. And there's a contrast, isn't there, between him and Saul. So remember, Saul was the one who was replaced by David. 2 Samuel 5, what are we told? 2 Samuel 5, verse 1. "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, 'Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you who led us out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, you should be shepherd of my people Israel, and you should be prince over Israel.'" So not only was David a shepherd in terms of looking after sheep, but he was a shepherd in terms of the people. He was looking after, he was responsible for the people, whereas Saul actually led the people astray. So he failed in his role as a shepherd over the people. And so we have examples as we go through history of people who had a responsibility over God's people, who led them astray also. We have all the kings of Israel. We have a good portion of the kings of Judah. And as we go into the New Testament, we have the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests, those who should have been leading the people the right way, but actually they just led the people astray. And there's an element in being a shepherd of leadership. And there's a distinction between leadership and management. And this sounds a bit like business speak, but it's true. If you think about a group of sheep, if you sat back and said to the sheep, "Go over there," they won't go there. They'll just go off in all sorts of directions. You actually had to lead the sheep. And that was to show them the way. And that's very much the case with us, isn't it? If we're in a responsible position, we have to show people the way, not just tell them what to do, but that's something different. And so that's sort of the role of people as shepherd. But also God is referred to as being a shepherd. The Bible talks about the people behaving like sheep, having no shepherd. They've lost sight of the one who they should be following. And that applies to us in our lives, doesn't it, sometimes? But probably the most famous passage about God as a shepherd is in Psalm 23. So if you go with me there. Now, Psalm 23 is a whole subject in itself. We can look at Psalm 23 and see the progression of the life of Christ. We can see all sorts of things in there. But we're just going to look at it in terms of what it tells us about sheep and shepherding. So Psalm 23, a psalm of David. And so just pause and think about that. David knew what being a shepherd was because he'd been a shepherd. And he'd had so much time to think on things when he was out in the fields. And so it was that he's able to now reflect. And you can imagine him sort of sat there with a campfire and maybe a dog by his side. And I'm not sure whether they did have dogs, but it's a nice picture, isn't it? And sort of playing his harp and looking at the sheep all safely grazing. And he's saying, well, actually, this is like us as well. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the land, in the house of the Lord forever. And so let's just pick some of those points out. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So because God is our shepherd, we don't need anything else. We will never be lacking for anything because God is our shepherd. So if we follow the ways of God, then we will not need anything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's the same concept, isn't it? And God leads us in green pastures and still waters. And that's what sheep need. Because the reason they go from one pasture to the next is because they exhaust the grass from one pasture and they need to go to another one. And so God is a shepherd that leads his people into places that they need to be. And that just as the sheep need to trust that the shepherd has got their best interest at heart, so it is that we, as the sheep of God, need to have the same faith. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. If we follow and if we commit and if we put our trust in God, then we will be going the right way. Sometimes it might not feel that way, though. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So in difficult periods of our lives, when things seem hard, when things seem as though we're losing our way, I will fear no evil because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now, I forgot to mention the rod and the staff, because the shepherd didn't have many things, but the most trusted tool that the shepherd has is the crook. And we know the pictures, don't we? The shepherd's got a crook, it's a big long stick, and it's got this curvy bit on the end. And it's there for a number of reasons. It's there for helping the shepherd to climb up steep hills and to keep them steady. It's also there to ward off enemies and to ward off animals, and you can give them a bonk on the head and they go running off. I'm sure it's not that simple. But also, the point of that curved bit on the top is that when a sheep falls down a hole or falls into a ditch, it can be used to pull them out. And so God's rod and staff, they comfort us. God can ward off our foes and the things that happen in our lives. And God will rescue us when we fall over, when we fall down. God is our shepherd. And then go to Ezekiel 34, because we're given a similar kind of picture. Ezekiel 34 and verse 11. So what we've just seen is a picture of God as a personal shepherd. But this is more on, say, a corporate level, over a group of people. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered, on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. So the same picture here, but instead of God being a shepherd for an individual sheep, he is a shepherd for a group of people. God searches for his sheep. On a day of darkness and thick clouds, when the sheep might get lost on the mountaintops, God is there searching them out calling to them. And God wants to bring them back and look after them and feed them, if only they would put their trust in him. And that was God's relationship with the nation of Israel, his special people who he was in that covenant relationship with. But as we progress this idea further, we come to see how the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, was the shepherd of the sheep. And the same relationship that God had with the nation of Israel there, we have the same relationship too because of the Lord Jesus. If we are under the new covenant, if we are baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, then Christ is our shepherd, shepherding us towards a godly life. You needn't turn to this, but just in Isaiah 40 and verse 11, it's just an isolated verse. It says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This idea of a shepherd having a very close and intimate relationship with the sheep, looking after them, carrying in his bosom. It's a very... The idea of a sheep here is that the sheep is helpless. The sheep needs help, and the one who is able to help is the shepherd. And so go back into, well, you're still in Ezekiel 34, verse 23, because this idea has progressed. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Verse 28, they shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. So there will be one shepherd over the people, one person who will feed them, who will bring them to the pastures, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will no longer fall prey of the nations. And let's see what the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10. So Jesus takes this idea and says, my Father was a shepherd, and now I am a shepherd to you. John 10. Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. They do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And that then picks up what we read in Acts 13, isn't it? So the Lord Jesus is saying that this door and the gate, it's the sheep pen, where the sheep are brought in, and they're contained and they're safe. And the relationship that the Lord Jesus has with his sheep is, again, this this idea of a very intimate relationship. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and so even when they're on the mountain tops and it's cloudy and foggy, the shepherd calls, and the sheep know that voice, and they trust that voice, and they follow the voice. And so it is that should be our relationship with the Lord Jesus as well. That even when life is difficult, when we lose sight, we listen for the voice, we look towards the way that leads to the kingdom, and we turn to Jesus for help. And Jesus is the door. He is the way in. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He knows the shepherd, the sheep, and the sheep know him. And he contrasts himself here with the scribes and the Pharisees, as he does so many times, and says, these are just hired hands. They don't care about the sheep. They're just in it for their own good. And as soon as the first sign of trouble comes, they're scarpering. They're not going to fight off the evil animals. But I will, and I will stick with them. I will even lay down my life for the sheep. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He is our shepherd. He is the one who we know his voice. We have committed to him. We have said, I want to follow in your footsteps. I want to follow your example. And he laid down his life for us. So much did he care for his flock. So let's just bring our thoughts to a conclusion in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. What are we told in verse 6? All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. And so all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all exhibited those characteristics of sheep. We've seen something and we've been attracted by it, and we thought, oh, that looked good, and we'll go wandering off, not realising or not thinking that actually it might not be the best thing for us. And so it is that we, like sheep, have all put ourselves in harm's way. We've all gone and done ridiculous things that when we think about it afterwards, we think, what were we thinking? But at the time it seemed a good idea. Sometimes we've seen someone go off in another direction and thought, oh, that looks a good idea, let's just go that way as well. It's that flock mentality, isn't it? Instead of listening to the voice of the shepherd. And we're all incredibly stubborn. And when I say we, I mean me. We have very short memories, don't we? We don't often think about the things that we've done and why we shouldn't be doing them. We think that we know best. And when we think that we know best, we're essentially saying that we know better than God. And that can't be the right way, can it? And so it is that this is why we come to remember our Good Shepherd. Because all in this last week, we have all gone astray. We have all put our own thoughts and our own priorities ahead of those of God. And so it is that we come to hear the voice of the shepherd. To hear him calling and to see that he is leading us into great pastures full of everything that we need. And as a good shepherd, he has led the way. He has been there before us. He is the first fruits of them that slept. He is the one that gave his life for the sheep. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so this is our Passover. The Lamb of God who shed his blood, which was covered across the lintel of the doorpost. And so it is that death has passed over us. And so that by God's grace we may just sleep, because we have been called out. And so we remember him now. We remember the Lord Jesus, who, like a lamb before its shearers, was dumb. But we also look forward, because we don't just consider the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. We consider him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will return, who will come back and put this world to rights. And it's that day that we look forward to. But until that day, we eat and drink together in the way that he appointed.
So as our brother Andy said, we will remember the Lord's Passover in the way that was appointed, and brother David Rees will give our thanks and prayer through for the bread, please.
Once again, Heavenly Father, we seek your presence in prayer through the Lord Jesus. We give praise and glory and honour to your holy name, and we thank you, Lord, for the fellowship which we're able to enjoy together this morning around the table of our absent Lord. Father, we thank you for the bread which reminds us of so many things, the bread which reminds us of the Lord Jesus given us your Lamb, the Lamb which was able to take away the sin of the world. The one Lord who was our Passover Lamb. We thank you for his example, and we pray that you will help us to look to the example of his life, that we might model our lives on his, and that we might try to reflect a little of his good character and the way in which he lived that perfect life before you. So, Father, please bless us, we pray. Help us to renew our vows of service before you as we share this bread together. And please accept now our prayer through our Saviour and our coming King, even the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Prayer for the wine will be given by Brother Paul, please.
Our loving, gracious Heavenly Father, once more we draw nigh unto thee now to continue to thank thee for the blessings which we receive from thy bountiful hands. And now, Father, we look to this cup of wine which speaks to us of the precious blood of our Lord, blood which was spilled on that cross of shame for each one of us. And Father, we thank him that he was willing to burden the sins of each one of us upon his shoulders. And Father, now as we come to examine ourselves, we pray that we may always look to our Lord as our example. Look to our Lord as our Saviour. And look to our Lord as our King, soon to be returned back to this earth to rule over thy kingdom. So Father, now we would ask that thou would continue to bless us, strengthen us, keeping us all together walking on that narrow way which leadeth to thee. And Father, we ask that thou would forgive us where we fail thee. Bless this wine to which we pray, for we would ask this through Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you to everyone that's contributed this morning. We'll conclude in hymn 271 afterwards. Brother Kevin, read closing prayer, please. Thy people, Lord, who trust thy word and wait the smiling of thy face. Hymn 271.
Father, under thy guiding hand, thy servant Moses shepherded Israel through the wilderness journey. And we know at times he found it very difficult because at times those of the people he endeavoured to shepherd would not listen to his words, which were thy words. We know the same was true in the time of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And under thy good hand, he shepherded the people who listened to him. And through that word which he had spoken, being written down for our learning, we too are shepherded when we open the pages of thy word and eat and drink from it. And we know, just as naturally sheep can be taken to the right pasture and to be led to the waters, the shepherd cannot force them to drink of it. They have to make that decision for themselves. And so for each one of us, Lord, you have led us and fed us with the water of thy word, the meat of thy word. And we pray, Lord, we might eat and drink deeply of it. By being together in fellowship at times such as this, or at our Bible classes, or whenever we can meet, that at the end of days we will be granted eternal life in that kingdom to which we have been driven towards by you and your Son. Continue then, Lord, to watch over us and to shepherd us. For we ask you to hear this our prayer in the name of thy Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.